Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and doggone it, we like beer.
I didn't realize how old this beer was. I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this week we're reading our Patreon-selected book of the month, Where the Red Fern Grows, by Lou Rawls. Oh, no, sorry. Wilson Rawls. And I'm starting with a beer that I just noticed is very expired.
What do you mean, very?
It was best by 7 months ago.
Well, that's just best, you know.
Well, I mean, this kid, they're poor as shit, they wouldn't know.
Is great, too.
But you know what he did know a lot about? Like, how many dogs does he get in the book, Jimmy?
He gets two dogs.
So you could say he gets a double dog. It's a double dog book, right?
Double
Nate,
dog.
Contain yourself. It's two dogs. Oh, that's actually, that holds up pretty good because it's 12% alcohol and it's a double IPA or big IPA from Flying Dog. So it's just dogs all the way down.
Mm.
Downward facing dogs, of course. So this book came out in 1961 and is pure child propaganda to get kids to behave.
And or to get tells them to hate raccoons.
Well, it's all about like this hardworking, honest boy who just won't dare cut a corner. And it did feature my favorite line of a blatant child propaganda was when he gets in, you know, the city folk are mean to him. And then the cop helps him. He's like, no matter what I've been told about the police, they're the best. I was like, really? Okay.
They clearly don't live in the Bronx.
So he's like, no, I see them all the time on the subway. They're just on their fucking phone. They're great. So this book came out in 1961, but takes place in like 1861, clearly.
When would you say that was, Mike? What was it like back then? Was it simpler times? This was another week of play the game of what beers do I have and what will work. And this one works. This is simpler times from...
I played that game as well.
Minhas Craft Brewery? I don't know. It's from fucking Trader Joe's or something. And it's called Simple Times Lager Beer. It's like one of those, like, this just tastes like old-fashioned beer, a lager. But honestly, it doesn't. It's got a little bit more of a... little bit more of a fruity pizzazz to it for, you know, clearly trying to harken back to the olden times of, I don't know, segregation. These people are always going.
Well, I think they're talking about like pre-prohibition when there were, you know, hundreds of regional breweries in the United States. And after prohibition, there was, you know, once prohibition was repealed, there was like three. But it has been said that there was much more variety in the lagers back then. It was not homogenized where everyone just thought beer meant Budweiser.
No. Well, in that case, it's definitely like that. Though, who the fuck knows if that's what they were aiming for. But it's fine. Though, I did Google who make this, because it doesn't say anywhere on the can that I can see easily.
Is it Two Roads?
No, it's Minhas, which is not a new one for us. I don't know. But I think it's like the Trader Joe's beer, but it's made by someone else. And then the Untappd, like the first review was like, undrinkable. It's like, okay, it's fine.
Untappd is really a barren wasteland of beer nerds.
Yeah.
Trader Joe's beers are fine. They don't pretend to be anything more serious than a Trader Joe's beer. So yeah, anybody who's like,
perfectly unobjectionable.
I like when they have like the Trader Joe's Mexican lagers, like Trader Jose's. I like that. I don't know what the version of Joe is in German.
Did you say Mexican lager?
Yeah.
There is a book coming.
It's not a connection with the book. Here's the connection with the book. So the kid, Billy, he is like 11 years old, and he just wants hunting dogs so he can hunt coons. But he's like, he wants the dog so badly, it's like he's got a fever, you know? It's like he's an...
He needs more cowbell?
He's an El Nino.
Jesus.
Which
it's
this is...
so stupid.
This is...
That's a Jimmy move.
Oh, no, this is El Nino by Focal Point, which is a new brewery in Long Island City. I got this at the brewery, and it was pretty good. And the brewery's pretty cool, too. And good beer names. I approve. Anyway, this is El Nino... You know what? I actually saw this and it was like we had just done the Aristotle and Dante book, and I was like, oh, that fucking would have been perfect. Damn it. Anyway, so this is a Mexican-style lager with lime, agave, and salt, and it is 5.5% alcohol.
El Niño is also an American new metal band from New Jersey.
I don't doubt that. They opened for the Deftones, probably.
Well, if they moved into a brewery, they moved into making beer, they did a good job, because this is very nice. Mm. It's got lime, but it's not too sour by any means. It's actually really good.
Booyah.
I approve.
Check them out. So the book starts off with a little frame of Billy seeing a dog that's being eaten by 700 other dogs. It's like fighting them, like in that scene from Old Boy where it's just killing one dog at a time.
Few books start off with a massive dog fight. Few children's books start off with a massive dog fight.
I think the Michael Vick story does, but that might be the only other one I know.
True.
Fairy Tales by Michael Vick.
Motherfucking Goose. And then he's like, that dog was super cool. It reminds me of when I had dogs 119 years ago and the cotton gin was new or something, because it's so fucking ridiculous.
According to Wikipedia, it's 1911.
Thank God we started fighting world wars to have more interesting shit happen than what these people endured.
I mean, there was this opening, I think it was in the opening paragraph, if not like the first two paragraphs, and it was like, what the fuck book is this? It was one of those days when a man feels good, feels like speaking to his neighbor, is glad to live in a country like ours, and proud of his government. It's like, what?
Yeah,
I've never had a day like that.
4th of July is tomorrow, you goddamn commie bitch.
Yesterday we celebrated kicking governments out.
I saw a really funny thing, was a picture of George Washington on a horse and says, hey England, have fun working tomorrow. Fucking sweet.
He didn't work either because he had slaves do it.
Supervision is work, Jimmy.
Said every manager.
No, I help with logistics.
I'm really a people person.
Anyway, this kid wants a dog. He's like, that reminds me of when I wanted dogs. And he has this line that I thought Nate would empathize with. He goes, my dog wanting became so bad, I began to lose weight and my food didn't taste good anymore. Boy really wants some dogs.
I am reading the names later, so fuck you.
I did like to believe that he really wanted dogs. He didn't really say this. I mean, he says that he wants to hunt raccoons, which is not the word he ever uses.
No, this is...
Nate, can you beep it every time just Jimmy says it? So it's like Jimmy's racist.
Like, I'm not the guy who wrote this fucking book.
No, this book is worse than Huck Finn.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, when he meets the magical old coon. Later on, you're going,
the ghost coon.
The ghost coon.
Oh, the ghost coon. Jesus, Lord. I like to believe that he wanted these dogs because in his heart of hearts, he just hated raccoons so much that he had to wipe them out. And his only way of doing so was to get dogs. That's my backstory I made up for this kid. Something happened to him.
He kind of does just want to annihilate them. Was it some sort of raccoon genocide?
Like, what? I know this took place. I know in the 60s it came out, but it takes place in the Ozarks.
Those coon skin caps came from, son.
Yeah, like, raccoon skins are, like, popular now. It was like, what century is this in where a child can make money hunting raccoons? Because it's not this century or the last one. Were people still making coon skin caps in the 1900s?
There was a little fad in the 50s, actually. I think kids in the 50s because of like Daniel Boone Western TV shows.
I mean, it could have been the 50s. I mean, it took place in the Ozarks, so, you know, it's who the fuck knows. But like they were making fun of him for not having shoes, which did imply that it was not common to not have shoes.
They're hill folk. But just a reminder, was it like, what year, 1936 or something like that, came out the movie Child Bride about the Ozarks marrying kids? So, like, this is 25 years before that.
They're still fighting laws against age of consent things in a lot of states now.
Listen, man. Some kids mature fast.
Especially when they're your cousin.
Runs in the family. So anyway, he
and
decides
it's gonna keep running in the family. God damn it!
I need to get some dogs. And the dad's like, "Well, a dog costs like $20, which is the GDP of the Ozarks. So not going to happen, son." He's like, "Well, what if I just do every weird odd job I can for 2 years?"
And everyone's digging like, worms.
Yeah, you know, like some, buying worms to sell, and then something else. Like he was getting like lemonade or something for people, or
he was picking sandwiches. He was picking berries. He was getting like berries and worms for and like the bait shop.
Obviously, he's sucking dick under a bridge.
He really wants those dogs.
The hunters
mister.
Are like clearly
look
this
at that
is a
red
kid.
Fern grow.
The guys like the hunter dudes around his grandfather's shop are like, yeah, sure, I'll buy that from you for a nickel, and they're clearly like just kind of being nice. But over 2 years, he accumulates $50.
Well, I like that they said his parents were like, you can't have a dog, it's too expensive. Here are some traps. Go and trap little things. And so he just traps the family cat over and over again until all of its legs are broken almost, and it leaves the house and doesn't return.
It went to die under the porch.
No, it comes back at the end.
Well, the ghost cat.
That's but, not the word they used.
Well, he goes out, and because he sees an advertisement, like an old Sears Roebuck catalog or something. Right next to the part where you could buy a house or something, or guns.
The prefab house, yeah.
Yeah, it was hunting hounds. And he spends 2 years, which is fucking ridiculous. No 10-year-old kid has the stamina to do anything for 2 days, let alone 2 years.
Not 2 hours.
When I went to college, at the orientation, the like student president came and gave a talk to all the new kids. And he was from Kenya. And he said, I remember, you know, when I applied to this school, I worked for a year to save for the application fee. I was like, well, I'm never going to do any that impressive. Fine. Fuck you, man. Whatever.
This kid, yeah, this is that level of, but it's not so he can get out of living in the hills.
No.
It's actually so he could become one with the hills.
So he could stay in the hills.
So he becomes king of the hill.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's about. Yeah.
So he talks like Boomhauer the whole fucking time. So he saves $50 and he goes to his grandfather who owns like the dry goods store. And he's like, oh, I know a guy at the train station. I'll have there'll be dogs there for you later. And then there's like the, you know, dogflation happens. And the dogs are cheaper now.
The dogs are slightly cheaper.
The dog market has crashed, and he has a couple extra bucks left over, so he buys like a bolt of gingham or something nonsensical. And because he's such a good kid, he buys things for his family, right? So he's, you know, the hardworking, scrappy kid who hates
communism.
Absolutely. And he buys a bolt of fabric so his mom can make dresses for her sister and his sister and her. Well, it's probably her sister too. They're, you know, they're inbred, and they're like, oh my goodness!
And a pair of overalls for his dad.
What do you buy for the dad?
A pair of overalls.
I mean, this is still back in the day where things were basically free, they're comically cheap. It's like, yeah. You know, if you ever go back, you could find them online, like scans of these catalogs, and you look at like 1910. It's like men's collared shirts, 4 for 19 cents. How did anyone make money on that? I don't know, what kind of volume was there? Like people owned 3 shirts back then. Like this doesn't make any sense.
So he has to walk 20 miles through the wilderness
uphill
to the town. No. Yeah, uphill both ways. So it's like he was like, it's 30 miles by road, but 20 miles as the crow flies. So I walked through the woods and then I got there. I walked a whole day.
Barefoot.
Fucking crow kept getting lost.
Kept going different directions. And so he gets there. The next day, he's barefoot and dirty. And he walks into town. And everybody's like staring at him and pointing.
And he's never been to a town of any size.
I'm not entirely sure he's ever seen other people that weren't in his family. But this place has a railroad stop. So this is big makings.
Also, he doesn't go to school. He gets homeschooled. Because, you know, in school they teach you that the earth is round and can't have that.
This is the biggest thing about, you know, biggest condemnation of homeschool It sucks so much he'd rather become a professional raccoon murderer than go to school and keep going to home school. Like, I'd rather just kill those fucking nocturnal beasts for no gain. And they're like, all right, I get it.
Those demons of the night.
I hate fractions too.
You can't kill half a raccoon, so I don't need to know fractions.
So he gets to the town, and then everybody's like staring and pointing at him, and someone is like, where are your shoes? He's like, do you even have shoes? He's like, yes, I wear them when it's cold. And and so he goes to the whatever the place is where the dogs were dropped off, the train station or something like that. And then
they're in a wooden crate that hasn't even been opened. Like, how long?
There's so much shit in that thing.
How did they survive?
So bad. And had to have been in there like 2 days.
Take them home in the crate. And he's like, no, I don't need a crate. I'll just put them in my sack.
Well, he walked there, so he couldn't even carry the crate if he wanted to.
It's a gunny sack. He's fucking Johnny Be Good. Dude, I swear to God, it's his gunny sack. It's
all on the way out of town, he fights every other boy in the city.
I mean, this kid is the Floyd Mayweather of child street fights. And he's just knocking the shit out of people. And then they all bum rush him like it's the Matrix or something. And then a good-natured cop comes over and he's like, oh, now I'm really going to get my ass whooped. The fuzz is here. And the cop was like, what happened here? He's like, they done gone now, made fun of me for having no teeths in my shoes and shit. And he's like, oh son, what home did you escape from? And then he says, oh, okay, I get it. And the kid says, I wouldn't have fought him, but they pulled my dog's ear. He's like, oh, is that slang? I don't even know what that means. Is that a...
That's the Batwing.
That's a bad way. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got to get real close to do that. That's why you wear underwear with your overall, son. Mm-hmm. And he goes, that's okay. I'll take you to the fanciest thing an Ozark boy could imagine. I'll get you a soda pop. And it's like, I have seen the face of God now, sir. And he has a soda pop at a segregated lunch counter.
Absolutely it was, yeah.
Yeah. And then he walks... the fucking 39 miles home. He has to camp overnight. He can't make it in one night.
And when he gets there, his family's like, where were you? He's like, I walked back. He's like, oh, you should have just told us you were leaving. You're 11. You've been gone for 3 days.
In the middle of and he camps overnight. He finds a cave. It's like Clan of the Cave Bear. They go in a cave and he builds a fire and they hear mountain lions. And he's like, oh, that sounds possibly bad.
And he foreshadowing.
And he gets home and tells the dad, like, yeah, I did hear a mountain lion. And the dad's like, well, you made a fire, right? All right. I taught you well. No concern. No, like that. You're a 10-year-old kid. That's ridiculous.
I think by now he's 12 by now.
Oh, he's
now.
12.
Right? He worked okay. For 2 years to afford the dogs.
So he gets home and he names the dogs the fucking worst. Dad, not the worst names ever.
Pretty bad.
I mean, he could have, if he was like Little Black Sambo, I'd be like, oh, that's worse. But he names them Old Dan and Little Ann. I was like, is that a fucking bluegrass group? Like, what is...
It's because he sees those names on a tree, and he's like, those are the only names I know.
It's the only one. Yeah,
my dad's name is Dad, and my mom's name is Mom, so I don't know what to call these dogs.
And he names his puppy... Old Dan. Like, no, it's a fucking puppy.
When he grows up, he'll be even older Dan.
Like, holy shit. Plus, the names, they, like, are so close. It's like, yeah. Come on. They're, like, come on.
These are shiner dogs. They're fine. They're very smart.
And the dogs have personality, even at this young age. Dan is stupid, but will fight anything. And Little Ann is... very clever and thoughtful.
She's got the brains of a dog. That's what he says. Like, oh, she's the brains of the operation. Like, oh man, I don't trust this operation.
you as the person,
illiterate hill kid.
The person should be the brains of the operation, first of all, if the other two are dogs.
It's a good rule of thumb.
So when they get back, he's got to train them to hunt raccoons and to instill his hatred of this night creature into their hearts.
The benighted trash dweller.
And so he's like, I got to catch one so they can like smell it. And then I can tell them that this creature killed their parents so that they will spend the rest of their life hunting these things down. Yeah.
To tell them a Batman origin story about raccoons.
But the plan is like, well, if you just put a shiny thing inside of a tree, a raccoon will grab it and they'll get stuck because they're too stupid to let go of it.
The grandpa's, and he's like, you're making that shit up. He's like, probably.
Well, so that could be true because one of my teachers in high school said, you can catch monkeys that way. What you do is you get a glass jar and you put a penny in the bottom and the monkey will reach his hand in, grab the penny and not let go. And then you just walk up to it and grab it. It will not know. If I open my hand, I can get my hand back out of the jar and run away. It will not do that.
It's sad. But then he does that, and it fucking works. And he's like, all right, got a raccoon. And so his dad comes out and beats the raccoon to death in front of him. He says, here's your raccoon all tenderized.
They have like a nice father and son conversation as they skin the creature.
Yeah.
And like, then, what are you going to do now, son?
I'm going to teach my dogs to hate these creatures. Tell them that these raccoons are round earthers, besmirching God's law.
So he needs the first coon skin in order to like train the dogs on the scent of a raccoon. So it's like really hard for him to get his first one. But then he like trains the dogs. He like, you know, drags it along the ground and like hides it up in trees and stuff like that. And he trains them over. There are two movie versions of this. I'm sure this part is a montage.
I've never seen it. It just reeks of montage.
It's like training montage. It's like Rocky, but it's just a rancid raccoon skin.
They're still playing Chariots of Fire, though.
But it's on banjo. I don't remember Chariots of Fire having an extended washboard solo. Is that the jug?
How do you get more than one note?
I watched Rocky for the first time within the last year, and the subtitles were on. And I learned that there are words in that song. It's not just like,
oh, gonna fly now.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, gonna fly now, getting stronger, like feeling strong now. Like these words are stupid as shit.
Yeah, that's why we tried to.
It was
to
better when I thought
they
were just like vocalizations, like getting stronger. I was like, wow, I hate this song now.
It's really quite terrible. So then he chases a raccoon up the biggest tree in the world.
It's a fucking baobab tree.
Well, they do refer to it as a thick bottomed tree at one point. I guess if there's any tree that's got thick with three C's, it's the baobab.
Or
it's juicy ass.
Out in the Ozarks is, of course, Yggdrasil, the world tree from Norse mythology.
I was trying to remember that name. Like, how many Y's are in that stupid word?
Just one.
Too many. But why? And he is, I have to cut down. He has like a weird George Washington.
This was an odd part.
I must cut down this tree.
Like, I guess I've never thought much about the logistics of raccoon hunting. But the idea seems to be the dogs chase the raccoon up a tree. And then you cut down the whole tree and try and grab it when it gets out of when it falls.
That's level one raccoon hunting, at least.
So he cut down the biggest tree in the forest to get a raccoon skin, which is worth $1. Wouldn't all the wood from the biggest tree in the forest be worth a good amount of money?
You got to dry that out for a while, though. You know, that's long term.
He worked two years to fucking. He should have done that at the beginning of the 2 years, and then by the time 2 years, he could get 9 dogs.
I think the montage was the nickel montage, where it was just him coming back home to look at pictures of raccoons and masturbate and cry at the same time because he knew they must be eliminated.
Throwing a knife at a crude sketch of a raccoon on the only sheet of paper the family has.
Well, he has to become like the Himmler of raccoons.
They know what they did.
So then he does that. He chops down the tree. But every person that you've met in the book comes back to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You like disappeared again.
He spends 2 days cutting the tree down.
And the grandfather's like, I'm going to teach you how to make a raccoon a scare raccoon, like whatever the fuck it's, they make a scarecrow for raccoons.
It's like the raccoon thinks it's a person, so it won't run down and escape. It's like, all right,
for sure. 4 or 5 days till it learns. He does specify it'll only work for a few days. They're slow learners.
They're capable of learning, but it takes time. They have a learning disability.
They don't have quite opposable thumbs yet. They have like weird looking hands.
They have little tiny hands. It's kind of creepy.
They're horrifying things. Nate, you've seen that. Like they have them where you're
they
from,
They do have
right?
They do have little hands, yeah.
It's horrifying. And they paw through your trash.
They do, yeah.
Then he starts genociding the local raccoons. And everyone's like hearing the legend of his exploits of killing every raccoon he can see in his quest for vengeance.
They start calling him Coonpot. He's the one that's just going around the killing
like,
fields.
He nails their hides up on the shed facing the road so everyone can see his trophies of his victims. Like, they know not to come here.
He's like Kurtz. Heart of Darkness guy.
The horror.
But he loves it. And everyone in town is like, them's the best coon hunting dogs I've ever seen. And then two of the even hillier children challenge him to a competition.
Oh, yes.
Like, compared to
anything
the hills, this
fractions.
Kid is from, they're from a mountain where they have less teeth and more chromosomes.
And Billy, and he says, and Billy says, everyone looks down on them. Everyone
Which is ironic because they're on the mountain.
They do have a sense of humor, apparently. But everybody looks down on them because they're even dirtier.
They share one pair of overalls that are really big. Like a clown car full of hillbillies.
You know that thing where it's like three little rascals in a trench coat?
Yeah, except they don't have a coat.
That's how they travel in their overalls.
It's one pair of long pants that their father found in the garbage.
So they challenge. So the two Pritchard boys, I forget their names, and don't care. They
Dickhead and Douchebag.
Reuben and BLT. I forget. One was Reuben.
One was Reuben. Yeah, because Reuben dies, you know. Too much.
Reuben and Hoagie.
Too much sauerkraut. Must be something like that. So anyway, they're like challenge him, and the grandpa is like, yeah, no, those coon dogs are the best in the county, and so they go and just hunt just the kids. There's just literally three, like not even teenage boys, and like they're attack dogs out and an axe out in the middle of the wilderness, and they go and. They're hunting coons, obviously.
But it's a special magic one. It's ghost coon.
It's the goose ghost coon. It's an albino raccoon?
It's really slippery. I don't know.
It's like the Gandalf of raccoons. He's like really wise. He can't be caught.
He's got too much trickery. They spend a lot of time talking about the trickery of raccoons.
Yeah.
Because they can just go into a tree and then jump to another tree. It's like, wow, what a fucking wizard mammal.
They are mischief incarnate, as I saw them described once.
Wow, they must be destroyed.
Yes.
The grandfather says at one point, you got to be careful. They could just climb up the clouds. The kid's like, maybe. I don't know. It's plausible. Nobody knows what clouds are made out of.
They're on the other side of the dome, which encircles our flat earth.
Oh, my God.
But every then night, they do catch.
God paints a new batch of them.
They do catch the ghost coon, but there is a struggle because what the fuck is his name? Billy is like, I don't want to kill him. He's a legend. Let him go. The bet was just to catch him.
And I respect him too much.
The hill children were like, no, he must die by our hand. And so they go to kill him. But then Reuben trips on a stick or something.
He lands on a fucking axe.
Well, the dogs choose that moment to attack each other.
Yeah, because they bring their dog also. And then Reuben falls on an axe and he dies accidentally.
Oh. In the movie version, the next scene should have like the Easter egg is somebody's pickup truck says, axe me about coons. But he does accidentally. Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh.
Make a real hatchet job of it.
Yeah. And then they, you know, they get over it pretty quick.
With no regret about child death or sparing the legendary ghost coon.
Well, they had to feed that kid, so they're like, all right, one less kid to feed. We're going to eat that one next anyway.
Reuben is the most deliciously named of the children. And now, if you're reading this and you're thinking, surely there's more than raccoon hunting in this book.
You are wrong. But for us doing this...
It's one thing we don't have to hunt for.
There is more. Because there's more to this than raccoon hunting. Every month, the people on Patreon choose a book for us to read out of the choices we give them. Not just any book. That would be madness. This week, this month, this one won. And we get to thank those fine people who voted, and they get to make us say things that we will regret later on. So,
almost
Nate,
immediately, sometimes.
Would you like to thank the people who have done this to us?
Not really, but I will. Okay, so I'd really like to thank Dub Rubber Box. I'd really like to thank this person thoughtfully named in Russia, Dog Put Testicle Inside Nate. Ween, Josh, Mr. Slotch, Meep, Poontang Clan. I'd really like to thank... Oh, boy. Okay. Hi, Nate. Do not bother using those newfangled dating apps on the Smarty Pants phone. I prefer getting a date by the date the way God intended by standing outside the gate on release day of my local woman's prison holding a box of red wine and wearing a t-shirt that says, "No fat chicks." Wow, that person, whoever the person is, you know, they have to write that whole thing on their social security card. Man, that must be really in cursive. Man, that must really suck.
Yeah. Names are really getting out of hand these days.
Really, God. Okay, I'd like to thank...
Nate does like box wine.
Black Rabbit of Inlay, Avery, Linda, somebody get Jimmy a Benadryl. He's allergic to fun. Thick Richard III, Frederick, William, Derek, Carol... I'd definitely like to thank. Okay. How does Mike bang so many of our moms but never loses weight?
Oh, that's an easy one. It's because after I bang them, they make me a sandwich. And they make me two if it's anal. Fuck you, Justin, whoever that was.
All right. I also really need to thank. They say if you want success, you first have to envision it. But I can't imagine a world without Mike. Oh, wait, I can. Holy crap, we're so much better off. And the Bronx Zoo only uses their scale to weigh real hippos.
Oh, thanks. You know, my child said something. She could be a patron if she had any money to use this thing.
You should give her $5 a month.
She asked me today, yesterday. Daddy, have you ever been on a seesaw? And I was like, yes, I have. And she's like, really?
Just judgmentally.
She's like, you down? I was like, yeah. She was like, really? And I was like, yeah, a long time ago. And she's like, you definitely can't go now. Fuck you. That's all right.
Honestly, that's meaner. She means it.
It is meaner. And she didn't even like laugh afterwards to be like, hi, we only half joking. My wife heard it, and she's been having a good time about that the whole time.
Okay. I'd like to thank Grace, Catherine, Colton, fuck my boobs, Mike,
oh,
Steven, right. Zaphod, Beeblebrox, Owl Dog, Joe, Hayden, Emotional Sport Burrito, and CL. Okay. He deserves an honorary.
Grandfathered in.
Thanks anyway. Yes.
Yeah, CL was the OG. Thanks, patrons. If you want to join that esteemed list and get all sorts of other stuff, go to patreon.com, since Drunk Guys Book Club, where you could insult us in a variety of ways. But
Or buy us a beer, because, yeah. You know, that's what we live for.
That's what the money goes to anyway. Sim.
Yeah.
That's what we read for.
So quick, back to the book before my arteries completely seal.
So now that the raccoon hunting section of the book is over... straight into the raccoon section of the book.
The professional raccoon. That was the amateur raccoon section.
This is the fight between Rocky and Creed. The first part was the montage. Now he's got to go on the interstate.
Are you suggesting this
raccoon
book is a series of nested montages?
Yeah. A raccoon's nest.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if they have... I assume they have some kind of nest. Not like a bird, but a nest. Maybe a beanbag chair sort of thing.
I think like den or warren would be the word. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. They live in the clouds, where they come down from hell to affront nature. So he's got to go to a fucking raccoon hunting championship, which is apparently a thing. Grandpa's going to sign him up. He already signed him up. And they're going to take a buggy there, which I wasn't sure if it was a... Was there a horse involved or was that a car? I don't know. Because I don't know what century this takes place in. And they're going to go hunt raccoons with the dogs. And they're going to prove that they're the best. And that's what they do.
It's like Pokemon, but it's just raccoons.
And you watch the dogs murder them. Which, you know, the pelts can't be that great if dogs kill them every time.
You can also shoot them.
They shoot them with like bird shot to like knock them out of the tree, and then the dogs kill them.
Oh, cool! As it bleeds out of 19 wounds to death.
Yeah, it's unsportsmanlike to just shoot them. You had to give them a chance to be ripped apart by dogs. They do mention how they scream, and it's like, oh, there it is—that scream when they know it's the end. It's like, oh my god, Jesus Christ!
But then it's very chilly, and these hill people are bigger pussies than this main kid. So a lot of them punk out. But Billy is so tough, hardworking, scrappy American capitalist.
And when he got there, do you remember that what he did to the dogs to make them look good?
He fucking coats
them in butter.
I don't remember
it's
that.
Like, I don't have any hair oil for the dogs, so I'm just going to rub butter all over them. Look how glisteny they are. It's like, oh my God.
It's a classic county fair trick.
It must smell so bad.
Or so good.
Do you know what a butter dog is?
Is it Nate? A stick of butter in a hot dog bun? Or is it
no.
a sex thing?
It's a sex thing.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know, actually.
I am not aware.
But it's, so the butter dog is the translation of the Japanese phrase, bataken, which is when it's a type of pornography. Nate, you really don't know? Where a woman is naked and covered in butter and dogs lick the butter off of her. You've never...
What?
This is a real thing.
Why? This is a thing in Japan?
Why Apparently. Do people
it's
want...
That's a weird place.
Why do they want that?
Because they've been very good boys. I don't know.
I know where the dogs want it.
Oh, she's been very bad.
Okay. That's just like a step away from bestiality.
But it's a very important step.
I guess it depends on where you put the butter.
I've never actually watched it. I only know about this from a book of Japanese curse words I got when I was in Japanese class in high school. And I just Googled it to make sure I wasn't hallucinating that or fantasizing. But it's it's a real thing. Allegedly.
Okay. Well, that's not something I wanted to know.
Educational podcast.
Yeah. So they got to do hunting dogs. The hunted dogs hunt the raccoons, and they got to have a big contest, and there's a lot of dogs. And, of course, his dogs are the best. And then the night of the final competition, they're hunting raccoons, and they're just like, look out, there's a storm coming. I was like, nah, we got to kill all these raccoons in the state first. I don't care what happens. And then there is a storm, like a blizzard. And then the dogs get lost, but they find him. And Grandpa gets lost, but they find him. And they're still trying to find this fucking raccoon. And the dogs won't give up because they've been instilled with this hatred from their father. So they're going to wait until the morning, and then they go out to find the dogs, hoping they're not dead because it's been a blizzard, and they're still running around a tree in a circle trying to kill a raccoon because they were so smart that they knew if they stopped moving, they would freeze to death.
It's like when fucking like seals do to keep a bloat, like that hole open in the glacier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they keep poking with their faces. Oh, this was the part where they're like, everyone in the camp, like all the people are like looking for the dogs, and the guy comes back, he's like, I found these two hounds, they're frozen solid, nothing but white ice from the tips of the nose to the end of the tail, and they're okay. He's like, why would you phrase it that way? It's like the doctor in Arrested Development. It's like, oh, we tried everything we can, and he's gonna be fine. Like, oh, come on, dude. Like,
these dogs are stone cold killers.
Yeah.
We lost him. No, he escaped. We lost him.
And so he wins the championship, and then they go back home.
And he gets $1 billion.
He does get $1 billion in dog money.
Dog bucks.
Dog bucks?
Hot damn.
Why, these ain't no good nowhere.
Hot dog.
He gets hound script.
We'll put these next to our Confederate dollars in the chest. They'll be worth again something one day.
The dogs will rise again. So then they go, they continue hunting. He has seen the top of the coon hunting
mountain.
Well,
there are still some raccoons alive, so he can't stop.
Not until they're all gone. He's like O.J. Simpson. He's looking for the real, well, he is the real killer. He's looking for them, though. And then the mountain lion that you're like, what the fuck was that? Why was that there? Oh, I know. A mountain lion comes back.
And old Dan is too stupid not to fight a mountain lion.
You have to assume the dogs have gotten bigger somehow. Like they also had a growing
but
montage.
A full-size dog is still not good enough to fight a fucking mountain lion.
No, no, but he's dumb.
So the mountain lion is trying to kill Billy, but the old Dan, who's still just a puppy, but old Dan goes and like attacks the mountain lion, and so does little Anne also, and they like fight it, and they win, but old Dan is like very badly injured and then dies.
His fucking guts are hanging out of his stomach. They get caught in a bush, and he's like, better just clean those off and shove them back in.
Yeah, it's still good. 5-second rule.
You might need gone. These later, Dan. Yeah, that doesn't work.
And then little Anne dies of sadness.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely how dogs work.
Sometimes it is. Like they'll just give up. It's like, well, I'm just going to stop eating and die. They don't usually stop eating and die overnight because it takes a little longer. But
doesn't it usually happen when they're old and they're going to die anyway?
It's because like, her brother the end is near. Her brother and her soulmate.
But do dogs really have a sense of siblinghood?
Yeah.
Like, we are from the same bitch.
I don't know if it's like provable they know exactly where it is, but they do know, like, I've known this dog forever.
All right, sure.
They probably wouldn't give up and die of sadness right away, but.
She's a weak girl dog. Huh? Yeah. She's a weak girl dog.
Weak girl dog, yeah. She was a smarter one, too, so she was like, through my vast dog intellect, you know, it's just not worth living.
What is the meaning of the universe anymore?
Well, it turns out the meaning of the universe is that God always has a reason for the way for things happening. And the parents are like, well, I'm sorry your dogs are dead, but with all these dog bucks that they earned us, we can now move into the city and you can learn book reading. And he's like, I'd rather be dead with the dogs.
But he buries them. And a red fern grows over their graves, which is where the title of the book comes in. Because I really was most of the book like, am I reading the right book?
It's on the last page.
Yeah, really. It's like, am I reading the right book? Where's this red fern thing? I don't know. Like, uh-oh.
Where does the red fern grow?
I've got to finish this today. I might have to find another book. And read it real fast. No, it was the right thing. And so the red fern grows over their graves because he makes them each a pine box and buries them. And then they go off to the city.
And as they're leaving, he sees the cat from the beginning of the book. And he's like, the sister is like, we forgot Sarnie. And they're like, they don't even answer her. Like, no, fuck your cat.
Well, yeah, the dogs are gone.
Yeah.
Fuck that cat's useless. Apparently.
It was delicious. And that's the end of the book.
I don't even remember. Does it come back to the frame?
No.
Yeah, it does. No, right? It does. No, it very briefly. He's like, really? Yeah, and someday I'll go and I'll, you know, someday I'd like to go back and visit those.
It's got to be at least
graves.
Two ferns now.
That fern's still there. I know it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I've never been back, but I would like to go back someday. Walk the trails I walked as a boy.
Do all like that coon hunting that put me through college. Paid my tuition and raccoon hides.
Yeah, see, in Missouri, you could still pay your tuition in kind.
Yeah, it's 7 hides per credit.
Yeah, the bursar has that's a trophy room to make trades from. All right, so that was that. What'd you think, Nate?
This was a really dumb book. really, really dumb.
Did a dog write this?
It is definitely a kid's book.
Well, you see the guy who wrote it did this. Like, he was a raccoon hunting child who then went to high school in the city.
I think he was the one raccoon hunting child. I guess. It's not like there's a whole category of those books out there.
And so it came out in 1961, and like, I guess kids in the 60s could have been like, okay, well, I guess my grandparents might have grown up like this. I mean, not all of them, obviously, but like some kids would have been like, this isn't such an incredibly like distant unknown thing. Like this could have happened fairly recently and still does in West Virginia, but they're like, I don't. Would anybody like this? I don't know.
I thought it was okay.
I don't understand.
Like, I kind of liked it. I don't see why a kid these days would read this and be like, this is the shit I'm into. Also, it says coon way too many times. Like, holy shit.
It's at least four Huck Finns. It is really
It's on that, every that. Fucking page.
You know what? You guys are projecting. You're the racists here who see a word that is harmless and just describes a disgusting nocturnal trash panda, and you think black people.
It's offensive.
That's you. That's you guys. Just,
a kid's not going to read this, and they're not going to like just be like, oh my God, look, put it on TikTok.
I actually wonder, I mean, it depends on what your family's like.
If they even know that one.
If they'll even know that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's kind of a deep cut.
It is. You know, you really have to have a very old grandpa still around. The coon word aside, the book was stupid.
I was okay with it. I'm judging it as a children's book and not as a work of fine literature. It was fine. I enjoyed parts of it. It was, you know, a nice, you know, a weird, you know, feel good in a way, even though all the dogs die at the end. But, you know, it was fine. I don't know if anyone needs to read it anymore. Certainly not a kid. And an adult, definitely not.
If you don't like raccoons, you would love this book.
Yes, if you hate raccoons, this is the book for you. It might be the only one.
The Raccoon Cost book that this was.
They don't get what's coming to them.
But it's very unsubtle, you know. It's
a lot of Jesus-y shit.
Just a lot of this is what a good kid does kind of stuff is what stuck out to me.
He kills local animals. Nowadays, that means that you're a budding sociopath, but.
Well, they didn't say he wet his bed and had, you know, played with fire. But
he didn't have a bed.
That's true. And they hadn't discovered fire yet where he was from.
I did think there was one really funny part that seemed out of character for the rest of the book, where it's like, this axe is dangerous, Ma. Can I get a gun? Like, you can get a gun when you are 21, son. Like, wow, that's the only woman in the Ozarks to say that sentence.
Well, that was like being legally an adult.
Yeah, you couldn't vote yet. Even in 1961, you couldn't vote.
That only changed in like the 70s. So
yeah, the 25th or 26th Amendment, one of those.
25th is it's not the 25th president.
Oh yeah, 25 is the one that everyone's pretending they don't know about anymore. When everyone was talking a lot about that when Trump was president, and now they're like, "What is that again? I don't even know."
20? Which one?
That's too many amendments. There can't be that many.
Right?
It's like a whole second constitution. At that point, make a new draft, guys. You're making too many amendments.
So, I mean, they knocked out 10 right away, Jimmy. That must have really bothered you.
Yeah.
We left
before you put out the final copy, just add them in.
Well, they had, you know, in the modern day version of this, it was like Constitution Final B was what they meant to print. But it was like, oh, Constitution Final.
Version A. 6.
Final underscore final.
5:23 like, p.m. version.
So,
Friday.
Should anyone
I'm
read
getting,
it today?
I'm leaving. I'm going home.
Yeah. No one should read this today.
Yeah, no.
I don't know why people picked it for us, except maybe it was the most recognizable title.
Honestly, of the three that we chose, the theme of this month's poll was books with red in the title. Red Badge of Courage and Red Pony are like classics of American literature, and they chose this one. I don't know. I mean, they're all short, so I mean, thanks either way. But, you know, those are like big books, and this one was an interesting choice. It was the easiest to make fun of.
We did all right.
I think the Red Pony is also about a dead horse, so whatever.
Before we keep beating this one,
tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter @drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Guys Book Club.
And the Patreon at Drunk Guys Book. You can find that if you wanted it. You found it already.
And on Goodreads, where everyone reads together.
Everyone knows your name.
Sometimes you want to go there.
See Frasier.
And check out the Hopped Up Network.
Normally I do.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.